Welcome to the Victory in Living Ministries broadcast. We are Ray and Pam Jackson, and we're coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. In Psalms 138, 7 and 8, it says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." And in Jeremiah 29:11, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and a time in the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and to sing for us.
I want to sing you a song. This is one that's always been real good, and I've just loved to sing it. I hadn't sung it in a long time, but it come through my old songbook, and I looked at it. I said, I've got to sing that song. It says, "Let me touch him. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch him as he passes by. Then when I shall reach out to others, they shall know him. They shall live and not die. Well, oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed. Well, I was straying so far from Jesus. Now I was lonely, I had no peace within. Well, then the hand of my Savior touched me. Well, now I'm reaching to others in sin. Well, oh, to be his hand extended, oh, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, well, so that others may know and be blessed. Now there's a river, a river flowing, oh, from within and to cleanse my soul. Well, and the flow sets my heart to glowing. Well, Holy Spirit, more than silver or gold. Well, oh, to be his hand extended, oh, reaching out to the oppressed. Oh, let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed."
Praise the Lord.
We want to start off by reading our text that we started out with, and that's Psalms 112, 1 through 8. "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discernment. discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. I think that's one of those scriptures reading that we could read every day and be blessed by it. Amen. And so today I'm going to try to talk fast. I don't know how fast I can talk, but I want to tell you about seven major revelations about having an established heart that every believer should know. And like we talked, once we have an established heart, then we're going to stand in a strong position, and we're not going to be able to be moved by circumstances that surround us. We're going to know who we are, where we're at, why we're there, and who's undergirding us. Mm-hmm. Amen? And we know that the Apostle Paul was established because the Lord Jesus Christ had personally revealed to him, Paul, the understanding of the authority of the believer. You know, we live so far beneath our privileges as a believer. We haven't even scratched the surface because Paul, he knew what it was to face sickness. He knew what it was to face diseases. He knew what it was to face shipwreck. He knew what it was to be whipped. He knew what it was to face demons. In fact, he knew what it was to actually face hell itself. But yet he was able to say, I am persuaded that none of these things can separate me from the love of Christ. That's shouting ground right there. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But he added a statement onto that that makes it even more powerful, and that is, I am more than a conqueror in all these things. Hallelujah. Through him, we are more than conquerors. Amen. And we got to get our head screwed on right when the devil attacks us and look at it through Jesus' eyes. Because it's through him and the Holy Ghost that makes us more than conquerors in all things. You know, and it's just like, he never promised us we wouldn't have any trouble. He never promised us that we wouldn't be tempted or tried. He never promised us that we would go through, you know, just flow through on a cloud of glory. Nothing ever come our way. But he promised us that we were going to be the conquerors. Amen? Amen? Okay, now. And the seven things I'm going to tell you today should become so vitally real to us as believers that we can stand unaffected regardless of what happens in the world around us. Jesus prayed, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know heaven is not affected by the things on earth? Mm-hmm. Okay, and Jesus was implying that we should have a part of heaven where we are now. We should have heaven to go to heaven in. Yes, first time I said that, we had a fairly new church, and I got these kind of looks like, huh? Yeah. Did you know when you got saved, and as you begin to learn your authority as a believer, the blessings that was promised to you in Deuteronomy, that we actually should have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. I believe that. Amen. Okay, we should be able to live like heaven here on earth. We're to be governing the circumstances around us with the word of God rather than the circumstances governing our lives. Amen. And how do we govern the circumstances that surround us? With this right here. With the word of God. You know, I don't know how. Yeah, you do. Get into the Word. Learn the Word. Learn what the Word says. Learn the promises. There's a promise for every situation that you're in. And we need to learn to use the Word of God. We need to learn to line our circumstances up with the Word of God, not allow the circumstances to line us up. Huh? You know, it's several years ago, the term was, well, don't bother me right now. I'm having a pity party. Oh, poor me. Oh, you just don't understand. You've never walked where I've walked. And, you know, I'm not talking about judging someone, but Don't get yourself down in the mully grubs in a pity party. If all you can say when you're going through that place is, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Then get you a piece of paper and begin to write down the blessings that he's already given you.
Amen.
See, and you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to go, I can't do much with that.
That's right.
Because you know what you've done? You've begun to think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are good, honest, of a good report. And you've got your mind ready to think, now, God's promised, and he's always going to perform that which he has promised. His word says that his word will go forth and perform that which it has been sent to do, that it's not going to be void. See, let all men be liars, but God is true. Everything that he says and promised is true. Right there ought to make us shout, no, man, I'm victorious.
Amen.
And, you know, it's like we... When we first came into the faith walk, we met a woman who said, when we go before the throne of grace, we're supposed to go forth as brassy askers. And I went, because, you know, I was always thought we were supposed to be real timid when we went before the throne, you know, because after all, he could whomp us, you know. You know, we get those ideals. Well, as I really begin to study, and when you really get hungry for the Word of God, it really becomes alive to you, and it opened up. And all of a sudden, I realized, hey, that is my daddy, Father God. I can go to him just like, or more than what I would even go to my earthly father. And I can say, Daddy, don't you see? Don't I have this need? And your word said, and your son paid the price. And Jesus is sitting over there, and he says, Father.
Yeah.
Father. And then the father says, you've got it. You got it. And I got chills. Like I said, I was going over this last night. I thought, I hope I can get through this without shouting in the morning. Okay, so we're going to establish our hearts, and we're going to be like the man in Psalms 112, where our heart will be fixed, and we will be trusting in the Lord, completely unshaken by evil tidings. And we're going to know that no matter what comes up against us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Doesn't matter what it looks like while we're going through it. Just remember, when you come out on the other side, the weapons didn't prosper. It's just like I've been reading Tim LaHaye's newest book. And it is so neat the way he set it up, because the enemy's coming out after the Israelites. You know, he's writing it toward the end of time. Of course, he's founded it as much as he can on the scriptures, but he's added a bit of fiction. But the enemy, the Antichrist troops would fire at the enemies, and like the missiles and things would come back at them, or you know, just couldn't harm them. Why? Because God had his protecting hand on them.
Amen.
And you can all think of times in your life that by all odds it should have went against you, but yet God turned it around and it went for you.
Amen.
Because no weapon formed against you can prosper.
Amen.
Now, the first reality that us as believers need to know is the reality of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's only one way that you can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We all know that.
Sure.
Okay, and we need to know the truth of the redemption in Christ. What it means to you as a believer. Hebrews 9:11-14 tells us of the work Jesus did in obtaining our redemption with his blood. Okay, now I'm going to take time to read all of the verses. Okay. Just if you want to read them later, you can. Verse 12 says, though, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There's three things that we need to know. Number one, our redemption has already been obtained for us. It says, having obtained. He's paid the sacrifice, and there's no more sacrifice to be paid. That's it. Two, our redemption is an eternal redemption. It is an eternal redemption, then Satan is eternally defeated. Like I've been telling you through this series, you may lose a battle now and then, but we've already won the war.
Amen.
You know, think about that. We may go through a few skirmishes with the devil, and he may think he's pulled out a new trick, but don't fret and don't worry. You've already won the war. Read the back of the book.
Amen.
He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we're in the right army, and we're marching to the right tune, and we're going in the right direction.
That's right.
Okay. Number three, our redemption is operative now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to have our privileges and rights as believers.
Amen.
Amen. It's available right now.
Amen.
You just got to have enough gumption, good old-fashioned guts, to get up and take hold of what he's promised you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just like if your mama fixed a good old home-fashioned dinner and set it on the table and said, come and eat, and you sit down, but you never lifted a fork. What's going to happen to the food that's on the table? It's going to stay right there. But you have to pick up the fork and begin to put it in your mouth. And that's just like the Word of God and His promises and His provisions. We have to make an effort to get them in us and then to begin to use them.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote some very important things about a redemption in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And in particular, in verse 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So our redemption is a settled fact. It was settled when Jesus hung at Calvary and cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we were born spiritually dead. Okay, Jesus was born spiritually alive.
Amen.
He came from heaven to earth and took on a man's body. And he had to live life just like we have to live it. He had to face all the temptations. He had to face all the sins. And he remained pure spiritually and physically. So when he died, not only did he die a physical death, but he also had to die a spiritual death. He had to die a spiritual death because he knew no sin and he took sin upon himself when he was on the cross. And when I think about that, I think, you know, we don't even realize how much. We quote the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I've been quoting that since I was six. But do I really realize how much love that Jesus had for me? That he would take every sin that would ever come to the earth, that he would take every sickness, every disease, every temptation that had ever been known to man, and he would take it into his pure spirit that knew no sin and become sin for us.
Yeah. Amen.
Man.
Good.
Wow. That's enough to make us just love him all the more.
Amen.
We could never, never love him enough. So he became a spiritually dead man and for the punishment of spiritual death in hell. Now, can you imagine? Here he was. He was the one that was at his father's side. He was the one that when God spoke the world into existence, he was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden he is in hell. And he has, at this point in time, he has no spiritual authority.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he has sinned. He's sin nature. And don't you know the devil thought, ha, God thought he had me, but I fooled him. See, you know, a lot of people said Satan knew what he was doing. No, he didn't. If Satan knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified Jesus on the cross. But he played right into God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Played right into God's hand. And there Jesus was for 3 days. And if I could have found Carmen's song, Carmen sings a song about the devil having a party and all of his cohorts, you know, and saying, oh, yeah, he's dead. He's buried. You know, we're not going to have no more trouble out of him. But, you know, I really believe, like Carmen says, I think Satan all the time, he was going, are you sure? Are you really sure? You know, after all, we have to remember, Satan was the one that fell from heaven. He'd been there. He knew. And Satan kept in Carmen's song saying, are you really sure? Are you? I hear something. And on the third day, the Supreme Court of Heaven said, that's enough. And Jesus becomes spiritually alive again, and he defeated Satan. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan. And you know what it says in Colossians 2:15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. So he didn't just quietly say, here, devil, give me the keys and I'll go on back up to heaven where I belong. He said, hey, devil, I'm back. Don't you know, Satan went, oh, you know. And, you know, he didn't have any choice. But he had to give Jesus the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And did you know that's why, that even when one of our loved ones go on to heaven, that we, yeah, it's right that we have a period of time that we grieve the loss of that loved one. But don't let Satan put the spirit of grief on you. I'm here to tell you that it'll destroy you and it'll drag you down. But Jesus has taken that key. And you can rejoice because you know where those people are and that you're going to see them again. Begin to rejoice and be glad.
Hallelujah.
And know that they've got a better place. Yeah, you know, and you say, well, how do you know? Well, because when I was 18 years old, I was a senior in high school. My best girlfriend, she was like a sister. She was a year ahead of me and she was waiting for me. And we were going to go to Bible school together and then we were going to go out on the evangelistical field. And the devil stole her away. And when they come and told me in one of my classes at school, and I dropped 3 dress sizes in 2 weeks. I was so grieved and brokenhearted. And I was a youth director in this church that I went to. And I you know, if you're under that kind of grief, what are you going to give people? You know, I was sad. I had no joy. And I was praying one Sunday afternoon. Our services was on Sunday afternoon. And the Lord gave me a vision. The Holy Spirit brought me a vision. And he showed me walking. I guess I was walking down the path of life. And there was a big, huge, dark cloud over me. And this is before I ever knew about Brother Copeland. He's got a powerful series on this. And as I walked, each step I took, further down this dark cloud came, further down this dark cloud came. And eventually that dark cloud would have totally enveloped me. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, if you don't let me bring you out of it, it will destroy you. And he said, and then he comforted my heart. He said, Mary's in heaven with me. She's waiting for you. It's all okay. And I gave it to him.
Amen.
You know, and now I can talk about Mary and know that Mary's watching. She's waiting. She's cheering me on. Mm-hmm. And I no longer, oh yeah, I miss her. And I look back and I wonder what would it have been like if she had been here and we'd got to go to Bible school and how would we have done on the evangelistical field? All those things, you know, there's wonder there. But God had a purpose for my life and he brought it. He's bringing it to pass. But I was delivered from the spirit of grief. And then the next time it comes knocking, I said, no, I've been delivered. Amen. Praise the Lord, I've been delivered. Amen?
Amen.
So he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he stripped Satan of all his power and left him naked, helpless, before all the cohorts of hell. Don't you know Satan had a time there for a while trying to get the imps to do what he wanted them to do after he got whipped by someone that was supposed to have been dead?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Real good there. When Jesus was raised up physically, now listen, this is powerful. He presented himself before the throne of the Almighty God, and he took his own blood, and he sprinkled the heavenly utensils of worship. And he made that final sacrifice on the altar before God Almighty to pay for our sins and our unrighteousness, that we could be holy through him. And so then He turns, and then God turned to a reborn man named Jesus and said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." And he anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness and handed him the scepter of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand?
Amen.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have never received Jesus as their personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and to cleanse me of all my sins and to be Lord over my life according to Romans 10:9-10 that says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Jesus has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So now declare, I am now newborn, reborn, a new creation. I am a Christian, a child of the Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I love it when people receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries, 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Or you can email us at victoryinliving@aol.com or visit our website, Victory in Living Ministries, that's all one word, .org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Many stately mansions daily you may see.